This is the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
So thanks for being here. Appreciate you guys getting up and getting in here this morning. And we are in the middle of a series that we've been working through this month and that we'll continue to work through all the way up to Easter, looking at doctrine. And so essentially what this series is understanding what we believe and why we believe it, but it also helps us understand that there is support within God's word for the things that we believe. We don't just make just open claims. We have very specific things we believe and other places in the Bible that we can look to support that. And so over the last couple weeks, we've been looking at that, and today we're going to get into the topic of Jesus. We're going to look at who Jesus is this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I hope you do. It's great to bring it to hold the Word of God so that you don't have to rely on the screens, because I don't always get the right slides to the computer, and sometimes I mess it up. And so open it up to the book of Hebrews towards the back. Open it up to the book of Hebrews. We're going chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 this morning. And today we're going to look at Jesus. The past couple weeks, we looked at the week 1. We looked at the fact that God's Word is in fact His words. We looked at it and we understand that everything from this is 100% true and reliable. It is our ultimate source of truth. If you're just jumping in this first time, I would challenge you to better understand everything that we're going to talk about. If you missed that one, hop on to your podcast app, search Green Student Ministries, and you can catch up on that, because that message about the Word of God is the foundation that every other message, every other doctrine is built upon that. If we can believe that God's Word is true and that it is, in fact, God's Word, then we can take it and it will radically change our lives. And so we're going to jump in today into Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And this is what it says. It says, "Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs." Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this morning. God, thank You for Your word that we can put meat on the skeleton of our faith, that we can see things that You're telling us, and we can say, this is authority, this is truth, and we can trust that. So Father, as we look to this today, help us to, I pray that Your Spirit would give us greater insight and a greater understanding of who Your Son is, who Jesus is. Father, that we would see all that He did and know that it is because of Your great love for us. So as we better understand this morning, Father, who Jesus is, I pray that Your Spirit would open our hearts to connect the experiences we've had with Jesus, to connect the memories we have with Jesus, to connect our hope in Jesus, and Father, be solidified in that. So Father, thanks for this morning. Thank You for what You're doing in our lives. As we come to learn about You and as we go out to share You with others, Father, encourage us, embolden us, that we would give You glory. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. So my question for you this morning, whether it's your first time here, whether you've been in church your whole life, whether this is first Sunday ever at church, my question for you is, who is Jesus to you? Like, who is Jesus to you? When you hear Jesus, what are some things that you think about? Maybe it's some scripture that we've seen. Maybe it's the relationship that you have. Maybe it's, for some of us in here who have never had a whole lot of interaction with Jesus, maybe it's some things that other people have said about Him. Maybe your only reference to Jesus is when people used His name in vain. I don't know, but who is Jesus to you? The cool thing is, if we went around to every person, who Jesus is, it's a personal relationship that we have with Him. And so everyone would explain it in a little bit of a different way. Very much like if we were to pull you and say, hey, who is Ryan? You would say specific things. Maybe it's a memory that we've had. Maybe it's a time I act foolish and that's the thing that you remember most. Maybe it's like, man, he's an old guy. I don't know what it is. But if I said, who is Jesus to you? We all have some type of interaction with him, and it is unique to each and every one of us. It's your relationship, especially if you have a relationship with Jesus. Your understanding who Jesus is to you is even more intricate and more specific to you. And so that's the beauty of a relationship with Jesus, is that it is personal and it leads us to better understand who he is. But there are some overarching things that we're going to talk about of like, who is Jesus as a whole? It doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a relationship with him. We're going to see who Jesus is, what the Bible says about Jesus. We're going to dig into understanding how Jesus was fully God and fully man. And if that's the first time you're hearing that, it might blow your mind. But we're going to dig into that this morning. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look and see what the Bible says about Jesus so that we can have a better understanding, whether we have a personal relationship or not, of who Jesus is. And then hopefully from there, better understand how much he loves us and what he's calling us to for our lives. Here's the reality. Jesus has a plan for each and every one of your lives, whether you have a relationship with him or not. Know that. He has a plan for your life that he wants to call you to. And the scary side of that, too, is that sin has a plan for your life as well. And so if we better understand who Jesus is, we better understand what he's calling us to, and we begin to pursue him, and we don't pursue what sin's plan for our life is. We begin to pursue what Jesus's plan for our life is. So let's jump in. Let's begin to see who Jesus is. And I think this scripture in Hebrews, it points to the fact that Jesus was both fully God and fully man. So let's jump back in. This is Hebrews 1:1-4. It says, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God the Father spoke to his people through the prophets. We see a lot of them in the Old Testament. Verse 2, but in these days, he has spoken to us by his son. So he sends Jesus so that we can see it. So it's God's son. Last week, we saw that God is God, that Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And so we see God the Father sends his son, and that's how he spoke to us, whom he appointed the heir of all things. So Jesus is the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, being Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So right there, we see that Jesus is fully God. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for the sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we see there, he came to this earth and he made purification for our sins. That's the human portion of it. That's where God is fully human, or where Jesus is fully human. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But in this scripture, we see that the writer of Hebrews is in fact stating that God, the Son, that Jesus Christ was both fully God and fully man. And so one of the things we need to do to try and do this is we're going to break it down into two different sections. We're going to look at the humanity of Christ. We're going to understand how Jesus was fully human. We're going to look at that. We're going to see some scripture that supports that and shares that that is in fact 100% authentic. And then we're going to look at the deity of Christ. We're going to see how Jesus was fully God as well. And then we're going to see how those two things work together for our benefit. Okay, so let's jump in. This is the first place we're going to look at the humanity of Christ, knowing that God that God sent his son, Jesus, and he was fully human, is in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18, and it says this, at that time, hold on, this is the wrong one, sorry. So Matthew 1:18, I may have screwed that up. Go to the Luke one for me. There we go. And Mary said to the angel, so we know Mary is Jesus' mother. Mary said to the angel, how will this be? So the angel just came to her and said, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to conceive in you Jesus, and you are going to carry Jesus, and you're going to deliver Jesus, and you are going to be his earthly mother. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And so we see the first thing, Jesus enters this world by human means. He enters it being born as a baby. As we can continue to look at Jesus' life, it fast forwards here. We see Jesus' birth, and it picks up with his earthly ministry right around age 30. But we see that Jesus had weaknesses and limitations in his human nature. The first one is in John 4:6. We see that he became tired. We see Jesus was out working, and he was doing ministry, and it caused him to become tired. We have another place we see it is in John 19:28. We see that Jesus, as he is on the cross, he's thirsty, and he asks for a drink. So we see another trait of humanity is in his thirst. Matthew 4:2 speaks to his hunger, and in Luke 23, we see that he died on the cross. His humanity, he died. He was able to die, therefore he was fully human. We also see this in his mind. In Luke 2, it says this. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Because he was human, he grew in his wisdom. He grew in the things that he was learning. Very much like my children, there's things that they don't know, and they're going to grow and learn that thing. This verse here speaks to Jesus' mind and helps us understand that there were things that he grew in understanding, and he grew in wisdom. And we see here that Jesus engaged in the learning process. So we see his humanity in his mind as well. We also see it in his emotions. In Matthew 8, he has this interaction with a centurion who's a military leader. It says, when Jesus heard this, he heard of the centurion's faith. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who follow him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. He saw the faith of this centurion and he marveled at his emotions. He marveled at this response that the centurion had. The other place that we see the emotions of Jesus coming out is when his friend Lazarus dies. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He finds out that his friend Lazarus has died, and he has an emotional response to that. It shows and it connects to his humanity. We see from some of these examples that Jesus, he had bodily limitations, he had mental limitations because he was fully human. And so as we look at Jesus' life, we also see as we work through Scripture, that he was sinless. We see multiple times in Scripture, especially in the temptation of Jesus with Satan, where Satan is tempting him. But he comes out sinless. He doesn't engage. He doesn't follow the temptation. He doesn't indulge in the temptations that he has, but he finds himself living an incredibly sinless life, even though he was fully human. We see Satan tempting him in chapter 4 of Luke. It says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So Satan tempts him, and Jesus is able to resist the temptation to continue to live a sinless life. In John 8, we see that John is writing about the things that Jesus does, and it says that Jesus always does what's pleasing to the Father. If he's always doing what's pleasing to the Father, that means he is engaging in a sinless life. And so I think as we get there, some of the times we find ourselves saying, all right, if Jesus was fully human, but he lived a sinless life, we also know he was fully God, could he have sinned? Some people engage in this conversation and say, well, if he was fully sinless, that means he never could have sinned because he was fully God as well. And this is where we get to an intricate doctrine. It's called the impeccability of Christ. And essentially, it answers that question. Could Jesus have sinned? If he was fully human and fully God, if he lived his life sinless, was he able to actually engage in sin? And the answer to that is no, Jesus could not have sinned. He was tempted in every way. And so sometimes people go, hold on, though, Ryan, what you're saying is he could not have sinned, but he was tempted. So did he even feel the temptation? Did he even understand the weight of temptation if he could not have sinned? You know, all of us in here look at it and we go, well, we feel the weight of temptation. I've felt that before. Like, I've been tempted with something. And for those of us, like everyone in here, there's been times where we've fallen into that temptation and engaged in sin. And we go, man, that was really heavy weighing through that temptation. Did Jesus feel the weight of temptation on him? And the reality, Pastor Mike gave me this example, and I think it's the best example that we can have. And it comes only from a former rocket scientist. So he was talking about metals and when he worked for NASA, he would test metals to their breaking point, like their melting point. At what temperature this metal would fail, that it would lose its structural integrity and it would fail. And so one of the things he said is, he goes, if let's say we are metal A and all of our point is somewhere around 100 degrees Celsius, and it heats up and all of a sudden we get to that point where we feel the temptation and it's our breaking point, we always fail. However, Jesus didn't have a breaking point, so he felt the burn in a way that we could never feel it. He felt the weight of temptation in a way that we could never understand it. Because if we would break at 100, that means that Jesus continues to feel the heat at 200, and he continues to feel a greater and more intense heat at 300. And because Jesus was not able to sin, the temptations that he felt weighed heavier on him than we have ever experienced. And so that's the doctrine of the impeccability of Christ. Even though he was fully human, even though he was fully God, could he have sinned? He could not have, because it was not in him. He was not born into a sin nature like you and I each have been born into. I think the other thing, too, we have to ask ourselves, as we look at Jesus' humanity, we go, hey, why did Jesus have to be human? As we look at the things that have told us that Jesus was human, why did Jesus have to be human? And I think there's a couple things as we look into Scripture. The first one is, we needed a representative before God. Adam, God established Adam and Eve from Genesis. He established Adam as our representative between God and man. But what we see quickly from Adam's story is he quickly fails. He falls into the temptations that are in front of him, and he finds himself entering and engaging in sin. And what we see is the perfect representative in Jesus, where all of us will not obey, Jesus did obey. And so he is our representative before God. I think the other thing we need to know is we needed a substitute sacrifice. We needed a sacrifice in our lives to make ourselves right with God because of the sin in our life. Jesus had to become a man so that he could die in our place and pay the penalty that man was due. This is one of the reasons why Jesus had to become a man. Because the sacrifice that was needed to be of human nature. We see, as we look at the sacrifice that Jesus provided, one of the words we use, it's a big overpriced word. It's called propitiation. The propitiation of Christ is the sacrifice that he had for it. And really what that means, it's a sacrifice that was acceptable and is a perfect substitute. Propitiation means that it is a sacrifice that is acceptable and a perfect substitute for us. And so when we say Jesus was the propitiation for us, that means he was a suitable sacrifice, and he was he was also acceptable because he, in fact, was a man. The last thing we need to understand is we needed someone to set examples and patterns in our life. We needed a man, we needed somebody who was fully human to set a pattern and to show us examples of how we need to live our lives as we are pursuing a relationship with God. We see this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 6, and this is what it says. It says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so anyone who says, I'm following Jesus, anyone who says, I am in Jesus, he has to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. And so if we say, I am in a relationship with Jesus, we look to him to see how we need to live our lives, how we need to interact with our friends, how we need to love others. We see that as we look through the humanity of Christ. He was a perfect representative. He was a perfect sacrifice. And he set an example for our life and how we need to pattern our life after him. And so that's the humanity of Christ. Christ was 100% fully human. Now we're going to look on the flip side of that and the other portion of that, that Christ was 100% God, the deity of Christ, the fact that Christ was God. We see a couple times in Scripture, we looked at this last week a little bit, the fact that Jesus was God, but we'll look at a couple real quick. The first one's Romans chapter 9. It says this, whoever says he abides in him, to them who belong, the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is Christ, who is God over all. So right there in Romans, we see that Christ is God. It goes on to say this in Titus chapter 2. It says, waiting for our blessing and hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It points once again to the fact that Jesus was fully God. And it says it again in 2 Peter 1:1. It says this, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see there multiple examples of where Scripture points to Jesus and says that he is God. Jesus is referred to God multiple times throughout Scripture. Now, the other thing we need to understand about God is God has attributes that we can link to Jesus. There are attributes of God that we cannot attain as humans ourselves that Jesus had that points us to the fact that he was also fully God. The first one is his omnipotence, okay? Another fancy word. Essentially what this means is that he is all-powerful. We see this in Matthew chapter 8, where he calms the seas. He has authority over nature. The seas start to churn up, and Jesus calms the waters. He has authority over nature. I don't know about you or me, but the only natural thing I have somewhat authority over is my dogs, and they don't listen all the time. Jesus is able to control all of nature. He's all powerful. We see it in Matthew chapter 14 when he provides the miracle of the fishes and loaves, where he blesses this food and it multiplies. It was just a small boy's lunch and it was enough to feed probably close to 10,000 people. And there was leftovers. We see this also in his first miracle in John chapter 2, where he turns water into wine. He's able to change the chemical construct. Because he is all-powerful. He has control over all. He has the control and the power to change one thing into another, to turn water into wine. He has the authority to tell the seas what to do, and they will do it. So we see Jesus's the fact that he is fully God in his omnipotence. We also see it in his omniscience. It means he's all-knowing. He knows everything that's happening. We see this in Mark chapter 2. This is what it says in Mark 2. It says, and immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned him within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? And so what we're seeing here is Jesus is able to read their thoughts. He is all-knowing. He knows what's going on at all times. It goes on in John chapter 6 to say this. But this is Jesus speaking. He says, but there are some of you who do not believe. So he knows from the crowd who believes in him and who does not. He's able to seek beyond their skin and to know their soul. He says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. Before Jesus ever goes to the cross, before he ever has the Last Supper, he knows that Judas is the one who's going to betray him because he is all-knowing. He is omniscient. Another attribute of God is omnipresence. He's there. He's everywhere. And we don't see this roll out in Jesus' earthly ministry, but he points to it in Matthew chapter 18. It says this. It says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And so he's saying that when believers get together, he says, I will be with you as well. And here's what I know. So we can trust that Jesus is here this morning. There are more than two or three believers. Jesus is here with us, but he's also at River Tree. And he's also at the small church in Uganda. So we know that he is in all places because he's omnipresent. Another place we see this is in later on in Matthew chapter 28. It says this. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So that he tells us there, he is with us. So when we disperse today, he's going to be with me and he's going to be with you as well. Because he is omnipresent. He is in all places. Jesus speaks to this. So we see these attributes of God. We see omnipresence, we see omnipotence, and we see omniscience. All-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere. The other thing we see is that he is sovereign. Sovereign means that he is in supreme control or authority over all. He is over all things. We see in Mark chapter 2 that he claims that he is in control of sin. It says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? We see Jesus forgives the sins of this person, and that is something that only God can do. So we see he is over all. He has the authority, he is in control, and he has the authority to forgive sins. So we see that Jesus is in control. We also see it in Matthew chapter 5 in multiple verses. We'll just look at two of them, but the first one is in 22. He says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Goes on to say it, and in verse 28 says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And the words we need to see is, but I say to you, he has the authority to tell us what is right and what is wrong. He has the authority to tell us what is sinful and what is not sinful. Only God can tell us, can determine and help us understand what's sinful behavior and what is not, because he has the authority to do so, because he is sovereign over all. And the last place we see, only God is worthy to be worshipped, but there are a couple times where we see it. First in Philippians chapter 2. It says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. The him is Jesus. God bestows this on him so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Another place that it says this, let's go to the next slide, is in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 6, and it says it again. When he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Only God can be worshipped. And when God is saying, you worship Jesus, that is showing us that God is telling us to worship Jesus, who is in fact fully God. And so we saw the necessity of humanity. We needed a substitute. We needed these things. So why couldn't Jesus just be fully man? Why did he have to be fully God as well? And I think one of the things we need to understand is that Jesus had to be fully God because only God could bear the full penalty of all the sins of those who would believe. We cannot bear the entire weight, and we cannot bear the entire wrath of God in our human existence. Only God could fulfill that need that we have. And so we also see that as God is pouring out his wrath on Jesus on the cross, he is able to bear it because he is fully God. He can take on the weight of all the sin of man. The other thing we see, the reason that we needed Jesus to be fully God, is we can only receive salvation from the Lord. We can't receive salvation from another created being. We can't receive salvation from an animal or from a creature. We can only receive salvation from God. And if Jesus were not fully God, we would not be able to have salvation in him and through him. John speaks to this in his first letter, 1 John. He says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And so what we see there, as we pursue a relationship with him, we are able to find salvation in him as we pursue a relationship with him. Salvation comes only from God, and that's the only place we can get it. That's why we have to have, that's why we have to wrap our mind around the understanding that Jesus was fully God as well. And so how do you take these two things and mold them together? The fact that Jesus was both fully man and he was both fully God. I think what we realize is as we begin to see this, we see the attributes that Jesus displays as a man. And we also have just looked at some of the ways that Jesus has displayed that thing, those things that are only of God. And so as we look at this, we realize that they mold together really nice. And there will be some people out there that will say, hey, hold on a second, those two things contradict themselves. There will be people who may, as you're trying to think through this, or if you find yourself in a setting where people are trying to tear away at your faith, they'll say, hey, there are specific contradictions in the Bible that make these things untrue. And one of the places where they'll point to is in James, and then they'll also point to it in Hebrews. The first place we'll look at is in James 1:13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And so we see there that it's pointing in James, and it's saying God can't be tempted. So we believe that because God's word says that, but then some people say, well, what about Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 4 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted, as we are, yet without sin. And so people may come to you and say, hey, Ryan, James and Hebrews, they contradict. One says that God cannot be tempted. The other one says that Jesus was tempted in every way, and you claim Jesus to be God. So how can these two things live in unity? And what we have to understand as we're looking at this, in this James chapter, let's pull that one back up. This one here is speaking, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. This one is speaking to God's deity. His nature of his deity. In his fully God, he cannot be tempted. But as we look to Hebrews, that's speaking to Jesus' human nature. In his human nature, he could be tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he lived his life with no sin. See, what we have to understand when we look at who Jesus is and understanding that he is fully God and he is fully man, what we have to understand is whether something was done in his human nature or his divine nature, it was still being done by the person of Jesus. And so as you read through Scripture and as you see Jesus living his life, speaking of the attributes, living out his life, that's an opportunity for you to go, okay, hold on a second. Was this his divine nature coming out here as he's calming the seas? As he's forgiving sins? Or was this his human nature as he experiences hunger and as he experiences thirst and as he grew in understanding and knowledge? These two things, it's two natures that he has, but it's molded together in one person of Jesus. It's everything that we needed in one person. We needed a human to pay for the sins of man, but we needed a God who could handle the weight of that sin. And so as you dive into this, sometimes it creates more questions, but what it needs to do is it needs to drive us back to God's word to say, okay, I need to experience some of these things. I don't want to just read them. I don't want to just read them as we're throwing them up on the screen to prove a point. I want to get in and I want to experience this for myself. I want to look at the life of Jesus. I want to understand who he was. I want to be able to see his divinity, the fact that he was fully God, and I want to see his human nature, the fact that he was fully man. And as we get into this, we see that it is one person that has both of these natures. And he's able to do these things because he was fully God and he was fully man. He was able to show us how we are supposed to live our lives. He was able to die for your sins and for mine. He was able to resurrect from the dead. He was able to conquer death. We're able to see as we look into that these things come together, these two natures come together to help us see the person of Christ. And so, who is Jesus to you? How do you gain confidence in him? How do you know that he is who he says he is? How do you know that these things are true? We believe, our faith drives us there, but as we get into God's word, this is one of the things where we throughout this series and all the time, it's so important to get into God's word on a regular basis. As we look into the Old Testament, we see the prophets, and they're making prophecies. They're saying things are getting ready to happen. Some of them don't happen for hundreds of years to come. But we look at Jesus. One of the other ways we can gain confidence in Jesus that he was, in fact, God, is we can see the fulfillment of prophecy. So men thousands of years ago said, hey, there's going to come a time where a man is going to be walking on this earth, where he's going to be born in a specific way. And they make some of these prophecies. They speak things that have yet to happen and some that will not happen for hundreds of years to come. And Jesus comes and he begins to fulfill these things. And I heard a pastor one time talk about the complexity of fulfilling prophecies to help us gain greater confidence in who Jesus was and who he said he is. And so, of all the prophecies in the Bible, for one person to fulfill just six prophecies that were laid out in the Bible, it would be the equivalent of if we were to cover the entire state of Texas in silver dollars 2 feet deep, and we were to draw an X on one specific silver dollar and to throw it out of a plane somewhere in Texas. And then to find somebody who didn't know that this even happened, to blindfold them and have them wander through Texas on top of all of these coins, 2 feet deep, silver dollars, to walk all over Dallas and into Amarillo, into Fort Worth, and walk all over, and to take the blindfold off, reach down and pick up that specific one coin that has the red X on it. The probability of it is this number right here. I don't even know what that name of that number is, but it's 1 × 10⁻⁷ power. That's the probability of fulfilling just six prophecies. Jesus fulfilled over 300. That's how I believe. That's one of the things that helps me believe that Jesus is who he says he is, to believe that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. I can't wrap my mind around it, but those odds are astounding. And that was just six. Jesus fulfilled over 300 different prophecies. That's one of the reasons why I believe. And that's what the purpose of this series is. It's to take us to deeper belief and deeper faith. Because we can point to places where Jesus claimed it, where God claims it, where God says, my son is both fully human and both fully man. We walk out of here with a complete understanding of that, incomplete understanding of that. We don't fully grasp it. But we look at the Bible, we look at some of the proof that we see, the fulfillment of prophecy, the Holy Spirit working on our heart, our faith that says, hey, I don't understand that, but I know faith is going to draw it closer for me. And we begin to understand, hey, this is who I believe Jesus is. This is who he is to me. He's the one who came to this earth, born as a baby, fully human. But he would go, he would die on a cross. And that death he experienced was his full humanity. But when he sprung up out of that grave, when he conquered death, that was his full deity coming together in one person. And so my challenge for us is to see who Jesus is, see what his word says about him, and then begin to implement that into our lives. And as we grow closer to Jesus, as we look at the prophecies he's fulfilled, as we look at the miracles that he displayed, as we see him overcoming death, what we realize is that he is worthy of us giving our lives over to him. He's the kind of person that we say, I surrender my life to you, Jesus, because you are in control. I know that you love me so much. You displayed it in your life as a man. You displayed it in your life as God. And I know that you love me. I am going to put more faith in you. I'm going to invest more of it because you are worthy. As we look at Jesus, as we dive into these things, we better understand who he is. And as we better understand who he is, it helps us understand who we are in a better way. When we realize who we are with all of our sin and all of our junk and all of our brokenness, we We see who Jesus is, who would come and say, hey, I'm leaving heaven and I'm coming to earth to die for you. We go, well, I'm filthy. And Jesus says, and I love you. We better understand how much he loves us. And that draws us closer to him. And that fills in the gaps where we can't connect all the dots. That's who Jesus is. Let's pray. Father God, God, help us. As your word says, Father, we believe, but help us in our unbelief. Help us to connect those things. Father, I pray that your spirit would bind those things in our hearts that would just draw us closer to you. God, thank you for Jesus, for creating a way when we couldn't create one on our own. Thank you for sending your son, both fully man and fully God, to fulfill every need that we could ever experience. God, it shows your love for us. It shows Jesus' love for us. It shows us that you alone are worthy of our praise, worthy of our sacrificing our own lives. You are worthy of it all. And so, Father, I pray that we would continue to do that. We would draw close to you. We would give it all to you. And we would feel your love. Thank you for what you do. So in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries High School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.